Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Tries to win it.
Welcome, everybody, to the Border War podcast on the Kansas City Sports Network, presented by 360 Vodka. I'm Jarrett Sutton. I'm joined, as always, by Jeff Hawkins. Jeff, how are you? Welcome doing to good. The show, man.
Yeah, thanks, man. Doing good. You know, another great week of basketball. Obviously, probably more great on your end than my end, but another good week of basketball, man. Obviously, we're about to get in the thick of basketball season, so it's just good to see good quality basketball happening right now.
Yeah, we're in league play. We're in the family, so everybody knows everybody a little better than the non-conference schedule. So, you know, interesting to talk about these two teams because with Mizzou, you know, we're a different feel in this podcast. Mizzou gets a huge win. Yeah. Against Alabama. We'll talk about Kansas. Kansas started Big 12 play with a win at Oklahoma State. They fall at Texas Tech yesterday. But let's talk about Mizzou start the podcast. Really interesting just going into this Alabama game when you look at where Mizzou was at prior to this game. And Mizzou had lost by 25 to Illinois. They had lost by 27 to Kentucky. That was right before the new year on December 29th. They hadn't played. They had a game postponed with Mississippi State. They did not have Konzo Martin in that game at Kentucky with COVID. And they come home and a game where the line was minus 13.5, Mizzou, and the point line was 148. And the game, Mizzou scores 92 points, wins the game, plays really well, puts two halves together, gets a big win. But I want to throw out a couple numbers here because this is a big win for Mizzou, obviously. But if you look at Nate Oates at Alabama, who's done a terrific job in his three seasons at Alabama, Nate Oates is now 0-3 at Mizzou Arena. Alabama had won 21 of their last 24 games in the SEC, two of those losses to Mizzou. Oh, so wow. Right now, when you look at it, I mean, maybe we should have expected maybe Mizzou to give a little bit of a fight. Maybe it's just a matchup thing. But Mizzou was really good in this game. They were plus 12 on the glass. They hit 9 threes. They got to the free throw line. They were plus 10 at the free throw line. They had 19 assists as well. Really, and the big thing was the starters for Mizzou. Got a lot of production from their starters. Out of the 92 points, 87 came from their starters. But let's dive into this game a little bit. Alabama, talented team. Jaden Shackelford, Javon Quinterly, those two guys are back. Keon Ellis, J.D. Davison, their two young freshmen, Noah Gurley. Alabama's a talented team. They're a team that really likes to space you out. They shoot threes. They play fast. They play with tempo. And really, it was surprising. They went zone. I shouldn't say surprising because Mizzou's not been a great three-point shooting team, and they wanted to take away Kobe Brown. But Mizzou did a great job of beating that 2-3 zone in that first half and really – kind of shot Alabama out of the zone, which was very surprising. And man, you know, with Mizzou having a 20-point lead in the second half and Alabama, you knew they were going to make a run. They make a run, cut it to 4, and Mizzou is able to close. And can't say enough about Kobe Brown. We've talked about him before. 30 points. Man, he balled out. 9 of 13 from the field. He had a couple threes. He was 10 of 11 at the free throw line. 13 rebounds, 4 assists, a block. He did everything for Mizzou. Mizzou without two players as well. Amari Davis was out with COVID protocol, so they were limited. But man, got great shooting from Jaron Coleman. We've talked about him before on this podcast. He hits four threes. Dejuan Gordon, another big guy from K-State. A lot of local fans will know him. He had 15 points, was very efficient, was great defensively. And then the guy that I circled that I think is the guy I'm going to follow all year in terms of I want to see where this kid's at the end of the year is Trevon Brazil.
Yeah, you mentioned him. You mentioned him a lot. Yeah.
Man, I thought he changed the game with his presence. And Kobe Brown and Trevon. Trevon's now starting, and they switch off 4 and 5 because Kobe Brown is not a natural five. He's more of a four. But you have to play him at the five because that's just how Mizzou's going to have to do it. But Trevon Brazil was very good protecting the rim. They credit him with 3 blocks. I want to say he had 4. He had a fingertip on one. I don't think he got credit for. But he was great around the rim and, like, straight up contesting shots and really gives Missouri a different feel defensively with his versatility and his athleticism. He's still a little raw offensively, but he's a Konzo Martin guy because he can guard everywhere. And he's very physical. He's gaining more confidence defensively. I thought he was a huge impact in this game for Missouri. So we can talk about Kobe. Javon Pickett was very good. Got to talk about Javon, the senior. Placed 39 minutes. He was very efficient, 7 of 12 from the field. Didn't force. Great in the mid-range, where Javon has, I think, really improved his game a little bit. That's a good win for Missouri to build on. They go to Arkansas next. And Arkansas is, Arkansas is struggling. They're a team that, coming into this year, I think there was a lot of hype and a lot of, excitement about in Fayetteville, and they've struggled. They're not off to a good start in league play. So who knows what happens here with Mizzou, but it's a big win. It's a statement win. And I do think it sends a message to the SEC that, Mizzou did not play well in the Kentucky game. They got blown out. And you kind of wonder, okay, what is this team? They lose at home to UMKC, right? And then here they are winning at home against Alabama, who's one of the better teams in the SEC. Just goes to show you, Jeff, college basketball, man. Yeah. You never know what you're going to get.
Hey, and you mentioned, you said it best. You never know what you're going to get. It's like a box of chocolates.
That's right.
Forrest Gump.
That's right.
But you got to think about it, man. It's tough in this game to, judge a team early in the season. I know you mentioned the UMKC loss. But now you can talk about this Alabama win, and that's big for any team's confidence to be able to turn that tide and, have a upset, with the UMKC and then be able to create an upset with a team like Alabama. Being a Missouri fan, that for you to be a Missouri fan and all Missouri fans, they should be excited right now for their basketball program, for the future of the program. Obviously as a Jayhawk fan, I look at it from a standpoint as obviously, we talked about that rivalry really huge. I look at it like, dude, go Missouri. Like, it just strengthens, again, that rivalry that is going to be renewed over the next 3 years or 4 years. But again, guys, you got to expect Kobe Brown, like you mentioned, to play the way that he did. But he had a really great game, double-double, shot really great from the field, stretched the floor from the three as well, too. You guys expect that from Kobe, but Kobe had a really great night as well too. But not only Kobe, but the rest of the supporting cast, and it can't just be Kobe, because I think a lot of the time it was just Kobe. Everybody knew what he was gonna do, but for him to have such a big game, and then for him to have a supporting cast behind it that was equally scored out. Like I said, Coleman had 18, Gordon had 15, Pickett had 15. That's a good supporting cast. And if they can continue to play together and trust each other that way, Missouri's going to be a scary team. And like you said, Brazil, man, this is a guy that's still figuring out, only played 23 minutes, shot a great field goal percentage, rebounded the ball, shared the ball. Impacted the game in every statistical category that he could, and had no turnovers with it as well too. So had 4 blocks. I'm gonna give him 4 blocks.
We'll give him one.
Yeah, we'll give him that. We'll give him that extra win, man. But he had no turnovers. So this is a kid that is definitely trying to figure it out, and this Missouri team is still trying to figure it out. It's still this is about the time where teams start really trying to figure themselves when they get into conference play. So hats off to Missouri, man, because this was definitely the win that they needed. And these are type of wins that can, get your program turned in a different direction and get those players really buying in to what the coach is really trying to teach.
And Jeff, you and me are fortunate that we were able to play on some really good teams win a lot of games, you know, compete in March Madness, the NCAA tournament. You know, this Missouri team, I mean, they were pretty much left for dead in the water after some of these losses, right? Not just the UMKC loss, but let's face it, non-competitive against Kansas, non-competitive against Illinois, non-competitive against Kentucky. So what are you really getting out of the year? And we talked about this last week. You know, at the last time we talked, it was December. Now we're in January. But you got to get something out of this season. And, you know, it's tough. I can't imagine what it's like to lose a bunch of games knowing, you know, you got no opportunity to compete in postseason. Now, obviously, it's still early in league play. Anything can happen. But, you know, the odds are Missouri's not going to be competing in the postseason for with everything going on. Maybe. You never know.
Remember, even if they don't win it, all you got to do is win the win the tournament, man.
Win the tournament. Yeah, you never know. It's true.
Win three games, man. Hey, you dancing.
It's true. So you never know. You never know. Can catch any team on a bad night.
Hey, they still – hey, man, Missouri is building right now. Like, the fact of the matter is they're building, they're getting better, and they can continue production like that, Jared. Dude, like, winning the conference tournament for Missouri – teams aren't going to want to play them for that. And Missouri's just going to have full confidence to continue to get better if they can keep their mindset on that. Like, hey, even if we don't win it, hey, let's be that scary team that nobody wants to play and just take it one game at a time. If we can win three games in a row, we're dancing.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, too, I think with the growth that we're trying to hit on here with Mizzou, the things that jump out to me in this Alabama game were, yes, they shot it better from three.
Yeah.
I thought they got way better looks. The ball movement was a lot better. I mean, they basically shot a team out of a zone, and it wasn't all threes. It was also getting the ball to the middle of the zone and letting Kobe Brown hit mid-range 15-footers. Yeah. And so that's a good sign. That's a positive sign that you shot a team out of a zone. That's very good. They were also the balance of both halves. They were very efficient. They got to the free throw line. They attacked. They closed the game out. They took care of the ball for the most part. They had a couple turnovers late, but – that's a good sign. I mean, let's give Konza Martin a ton of credit too. Like, sitting out with COVID, not being around his team, hasn't coached, you know, in a little while, and coming off two really bad losses. They haven't played in so long, and to come on your home floor in front of your hometown fans to get a win like that, that says a lot. I really think that's a statement win for Mizzou, just to show, hey, we're not going to lay down, right?
Yeah,
to your point. One game at a time, I'll take that fight. I mean, if they go – now, the thing is consistency, right? Can they keep this up? Can they continue to play at this level? We'll see. But if they can compete like that night in and night out, and if they do drop a game, if they can compete like that, if they can show more offensively and show more balance and just show more of an identity, I think is what you're looking at for Mizzou basketball, you'll take that. So it's a great win. Mizzou goes to Arkansas. They come back home the following Saturday, so it's a quick trip. They will host Texas A&M on Saturday. Texas A&M's off to a very good start. So a couple interesting games coming up. Mizzou, if they can – hey, as you know, you want to take care of your home floor. You want to win games at home, especially
sneak
in league
a couple
play.
On the road. Sneak a couple on the road.
if you can sneak a couple on the road, you're in good shape. But you got to take care of the home floor. So good win for Mizzou. We'll see where they are. They go to Arkansas on Wednesday. And let's see if Kobe Brown can stay consistent as well. It's something I'm really going to, you know, 30 points, 13 rebounds, big night. He's got to stay out of foul trouble, and he's got to continue to bring that. And there's some guys talking about Kobe Brown in terms of his development. You know, Kobe's a junior, and his scoring output has taken a huge jump. His rebounding output has taken a huge jump. I'd like to see him shoot the ball like he was, and with no thinking. He hit a couple threes in that game, and he wasn't overthinking. And sometimes, you know this, players, some when they're missing shots, they overthink. I don't think he was thinking.
He just let the game come
to him, and he looked like he was in a rhythm. He looked like he was in a flow. He was confident, and he never let the foot off the gas that entire game. So that's what you want from your best player.
Yeah, you do. And I'll add one more, if I can, to Kobe. And, I mean, you mentioned it. You know, Kobe wanted him to shoot more, but I think – another deal for Kobe to be able to be the best Kobe is, again, for like his teammates to be able to step up, make plays, hit shots. That's big, because when they don't, all the focus is just on Kobe. So teams are helping a little bit more. Kobe has to be more creative to score, which, again, I mean, you still Got to be aggressive. But you also want, you know, to know that, you know, you can swing the ball to an open wing when his man is helping too much and he can knock down that three. And then the next time they play it honest, and now you can get to the rim and score, hit the mid-range jumper if they're backing off. So I hope that, you know, moving forward that, you know, Kobe can continue to get that good.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The supporting cast.
Absolutely, absolutely. We'll look forward to seeing what Mizzou shows in Fayetteville. Sure. Let's shift gears and let's talk about Kansas. They go down. First of all, two road games to start league play. Yeah. You know, we talk about the Oklahoma State win. Wild game. Really one of the more wild games. It was really good to see David McCormick play well. Kansas had a much better second half than they did in the first half, but able to get a win. Christian Brown was good passing the ball. And again, a game where it's tough to go to Stillwater. I played in Stillwater in the old Big 12. I'm dating myself, the old Big 12, but it's still a tough place to play. So good for Kansas to get a win. Then they go to Texas Tech and, you know, new head coach in Mark Adams, but he's been at Texas Tech as an assistant. And, you know, very similar identity, I feel like, when I think of Texas Tech, of just a hard-nosed, blue-collar, tough team. They gave Iowa State a really good game in terms of keeping the game in the 50s. Like, if there's a team that wants to muddy it up and make it kind of ugly, but still has talent and still can beat you with their offense, it's Texas Tech without Terrence Shannon. Interesting game. Texas Tech ends up winning this game. I think Kansas is going to continue to look at that first half. You know, they struggled to make shots. They were much better in the second half. Bench production wasn't there probably in this game for Kansas, and the game was won in the paint. Offensive rebounding for Texas Tech was very good. Your thoughts on Kansas losing their second game of the year down in Lubbock?
Yeah, that was a tough one. And, you know, you mentioned that to me, kind of go back a little bit to that Oklahoma State game. You go back to that game and, you know, speaking from a David McCormick standpoint, you know, he comes off 17 points, 15 rebounds, plays really good. They played solid, you know, at Oklahoma State. It was tough. But anytime you can get a win on the road, especially the magnitude of that game and kind of what was behind it with Coach Self's history with the program, that was a really big win. And, you know, they come into Texas Tech and it was a little bit different. You really mentioned if they could take back that first half, they wish they could take that, they could get that back, and they had a little bit of a slow start. But, you know, even once the game, you know, kind of progressed throughout the game, the Jayhawks really couldn't, you know, close that league. I think they brought it down to four at one point in time or five, and couldn't get really over that hump. But Texas Tech, you gotta, you know, credit them. They controlled the game, from the get go. CB, Ochai, You know, they showed up. Obviously, CB only had 10 points, shot 4 for 10 from the field, didn't shoot the way he normally did, only 0 for 2. You know, when I see CB going 0 for 2 from 3, again, that just shows me he probably wasn't as aggressive as he could have been. I think CB needs to, you know, average anywhere from 4 to 6 threes per game just to make sure he's keeping the defense honest, driving to the basket. But he really couldn't find his rhythm from that standpoint. Mitch Lightfoot, who's been really great over the past couple of games when they've been trying to get David McCormick going, he really struggled. I think he only played 10 minutes and he started as well too, and had no rebounds, no points. So they were kind of hurting from a big, and you have to credit Texas Tech because they figured it out. They threw it inside. They made a presence from the inside and played inside out, which made the Jayhawks continue to scramble and scramble. But Ochai, you know, you're looking at Ochai, and the Jayhawks have to be excited about Jalen Wilson. You hate trying to find moral victories. I don't really believe in those moral victories, but I do believe that you can find positives in negative situations. Although the Jayhawks did lose, they have something to work with Jalen Wilson. He played great, 20 points, obviously from a scoring perspective. That's something that the Jayhawks were really looking for him. 6 for 8 from the field, 3 for 5 from three, 5 for 6 from free throw. So that's something that they were looking for Jalen. And this isn't typical Jalen. Jalen only had 2 rebounds. So, you know, Jalen normally hasn't scored as much as what he scored this last game against Tech throughout the season, but he's rebounded. And I think that's what really hurt, really at the end of the day, what hurt the Jayhawks. They got out-rebounded by 10. And that's kind of the heart of Coach Self. He really kind of measures his team on toughness, on how they rebound the ball. And for them to get out-rebounded by 10 rebounds, they gave up 13 offensive rebounds. So those are just second chance opportunities that KU wish they could get back, box out, hit your man, go get the ball, 2 hands, be strong with it. So the Jayhawks just never really could find their groove. Like I said, Ochai did a good job, 24 points, you know, from kind of carrying his load. But some of the other guys just, you know, like Coach Self, I think they're still trying to find that inside presence. McCormick didn't play as much, 14 minutes, went 1 for 3 from the field, had 6 rebounds and 4 points. So he really didn't get in his groove as well. But he tried to rebound the ball with 6 rebounds. So that's still good for David. But they're going to have to, at the end of the day, they're going to have to find an inside presence, consistent inside presence to where they can throw the ball in. And I think that's what the Jayhawks are searching for right now.
Yeah, I look at that points in the paint number where Tech had 44 to Kansas 18. Yeah. That's something I think that's going to haunt Bill Self, because I think that touches to your point on the toughness piece. You know, that's going to be a number that – and a lot of those are offensive rebounds and stick backs, just getting extra possessions. You know, and Kansas only loses by 2. So you're talking about, they're in the game and they really got dominated on the glass. So it's almost like I'm with you. I don't look for a positive. It's good to take positives and negatives in any game, win or lose. But, you know, I think in a loss, there's no moral victories. But I'm with you on that. I mean, they're in the game and there's things to correct. And to see Jalen Wilson with 2 rebounds and then Mitch, who's, you know, reliable rebounder, to not get any rebounds. That's really you can't have that at your 4 and 5. And Christian does a nice job on the glass. But, you know, they have to have guys step up and rebound the ball at those positions. And especially in a game like this, where I thought Texas Tech, that was part of their game plan a little bit, was, hey, it's almost like in football, right? Winning a game in the trenches.
Yeah, you know, for sure.
And like, it's instead of it being like a passing game in football, it's a trenches run the ball. And that's kind of what it felt like, where Texas Tech was just trying to dominate in that area. And that ultimately was the difference in this game.
Yeah. I mean, again, that's the way Coach Self plays. You know, you want to get the ball inside, outside. That is a great comparison. You know, getting the ball inside is just like running it, just run it up their throat. So, and that's kind of how it is when you just pound the ball inside, man. Because it forces the teams to, especially at this level, are they going to trap the post? What are they going to do? Are they fronting? It makes them, you know, go to their counter schemes. And right now, KU's easy to guard if they don't, if you can shut down their guards and contain their bigs. That's with any team. It's going to be tough for them to get off. But luckily, you know, the Jayhawks did have Ochai was still. It's tough to shut down all three of the guards, especially if Jalen's playing that way. CB didn't have the great game like he normally does, but Ochai was still able to do some good things. But I think at the end of the day, Coach Self, they're still searching a little bit. They're still searching a little bit, and they'll have to, you know, take some lumps if they have to figure out it. But I think, you know, Coach Self's going to stick with it. I think he's going to continue to trust his bigs, because I think at the end of the day, he's going to think about the big picture, and he's going to need those guys to produce in order to give KU any shot at winning a national championship.
Yeah, I did want to touch on the two players that I thought played the best. Bryson Williams of Texas Tech, 22-8, yeah. 9-13 from the field. But Ochai, I'm glad you hit on him, because 24 points on 12 shots. I mean, that is efficient.
You like your efficiency, Jerry.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely. I'm looking at the three, like six of nine from three, yeah. And four at the free, yeah, throw line. You know, and like give that man
24 shots.
That's right. I mean, man, and that's in 35 minutes. And yeah. It touches on shot selection too. Improvements, yep, for Ochai, not taking bad shots. Didn't take a bad one in this game. I do want to touch on Remy Martin too, because I know he was kind of a game time decision. I know he's kind of battling back with some injuries. He does give them 12 minutes, only shoots the ball three times. This is another piece of this game for me, is let's get Remy healthy and, you know, get him more acclimated into this offense and with this team. We know what Remy can bring this team when he's healthy. So that is another piece. Just, I credit him for playing. I don't know how healthy he was to play in this game though.
I'm glad that you mentioned that, because kind of forgot about that to a certain degree. And, you know, you got to credit Remy for trying to give it a go. But I think Remy playing in a game like this, when the Jayhawks, and this is what Remy has been doing over the last couple of games, he's really showed that, you know, when the Jayhawks are looking for that bucket, somebody to maybe take that wild shot that no other player's thinking about taking, Remy's been doing a really good job of, I have the confidence to shoot that shot. I know I can make it. I've done that at Arizona State my whole career. So Remy's done a good job of that. So it would have been fun to see Remy playing in a game like this, healthy, because he could have been a difference maker and maybe helping the Jayhawks be able to get over that hump as far as needing that big bucket that kind of gets the crowd a little bit quiet as far as getting the players hype and juiced up, ready for the next possession.
Kansas goes home. We just talked about winning on your home court. Kansas gets to come home, start Big 12 play in Allen Fieldhouse. They get Iowa State. It's a big one. There's been some great Kansas-Iowa State games in Allen Fieldhouse. So this will be a good one on Tuesday. Isaiah Brockington's very good, by the way. I've seen Iowa State live. He's kind of the catalyst to that team. And, you know, that whole staff too deserves a ton of credit, not just TJ coming over as the first year head coach, Osenberger, but also their entire staff has done a really good job. I mean, I always view Iowa State as a team that just tries to outscore everybody.
Yeah.
But I do think they're a little bit tougher now. I mean, they really get after you defensively. I think it's going to be a good game. And Kansas got to come home, take care of their home court. It's going to be a big one for them. And then they got West Virginia on Saturday, and West Virginia's having a good year too. And they got a really good scoring guard, top five scoring guard in the Big 12, and Tash Sherman. So a couple of big ones for Kansas. And look, Jeff, this league, man, I mean, we talk about it every year. Yeah. I mean, the Big 12 is solid across the board, man. It is a tough league. You're talking 10 teams, but man, you got to bring it. I think you could say that every year, but I'm just looking up and down like the schedules, and there's some really good teams in this league. And as you know, playing at home, playing on the road, we'll see where we're at come beginning of March when we're talking about Big 12 outright regular season championships.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun, man. And some of these games at the beginning of league play come back. You start looking back some of these league games to start league play. You think about down the road. So a couple of big ones coming up for Kansas.
Hey, it's funny, man. It's like no team in the Big 12 can say, hey, we're going to win the next three games. And like really like just know it. Like, because yeah. That's how, I mean, not even the next game. I said three games. I mean, the next game is always up for grabs in the Big 12. And that just goes, I mean, you know, even when we both played in the Big 12, it was always a strong, tough conference. And sometimes I felt it was we got underlooked or overlooked. But yep. it's a tough conference, man. It's continued to grow, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens fully with the Big 12 over the next few years. But it's a tough conference, man.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, yeah, I hate to see teams leave the Big 12 just from. Yeah. We know that football drives so much college athletics, but I hate it for basketball. And I hated this in 2012, you know, when Missouri and A&M left. You know, I knew there were other reasons for it. But from a basketball standpoint and from a college basketball rivalry standpoint, I hated it for so many reasons. And I think if you're a Mizzou fan and you're thinking solely basketball, like if it's just basketball, then that's when it started and we're seeing it again. And, I mean, who knows where we're going to be in 5-10 years. With the way things are going.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
We could have another whole entire podcast about the state of college athletics. And, you know, my brother asked me the other day, is like, what is a college athlete anymore now with NIL?
No,
and
real.
Like, you know, like I'm sitting here thinking like, man, what would we do back in the day if NIL was around, man? And Lawrence and Columbia.
Man,
whoa.
Man. Yeah. Yeah. What would we do?
Scary to think about.
That is a question. Yeah. It's very dang. Scary. I don't even want to open that box up. Jeez.
I know, man. It's another podcast. It's another podcast.
Yeah, we'll save that for another day.
That's right. Hey, before we get out of here, I did want to send a quick note. Congratulations to Asia Blackwell of Mizzou Women's Basketball. She surpassed 1,000 points in her career. Big accomplishment.
Awesome.
Big-time player for the Mizzou Women's program. They just got upset over the weekend in Fayetteville, but you know, very good player at Mizzou. Kind of followed Sophie Cunningham after Sophie left. She was like the next big piece out of St. Louis. Her dad played football at Mizzou. She's had a great career. So props to her, 1,000 points. That's a big deal.
Awesome. Yes, it is.
Shouldn't be overlooked. So congrats to Asia Blackwell.
Yeah, congrats to Asia for sure.
Jeff, it's great, man. Good to connect.
Always,
good to catch up with you.
Always.
Big games ahead, man. We'll get together next week and break it all down.
You betcha, man. Appreciate it, man. Enjoy that win, dude.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.